it can be a voice inside your head that says, who do you think you are? What makes you think you can do this? That's the dumbest thing I heard. You will never make it. Everyone will think you're a fool. You're making a huge mistake. So this is how fear sounds like. And it is almost universal because we all have egos. And ego is not a bad thing, by the way. It's just a survival function of the psyche.
Welcome to Partners in Sublime, where we explore the teachings of depth psychology and Vedic philosophy to achieve the highest levels of personal growth and self-actualization. Join me as we tap into the unconscious for intuitive guidance and creative direction. I'm your host, Shagun Chopra. Let's begin.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Partners in Sublime. Today, we're going to talk about overcoming fear. But before we can tackle fear, we need to understand where the fear originates from. And I'm here to tell you that fear originates from the ego. So that brings us to the next question. What is the ego? Ego is the survival function of the psyche. It ensures that we are protected, that we stay alive, that we do the things that are purely for survival. And this ego comes into being based on our past, our upbringing. So what we learn from our parents, what we learn from society, what we learn from the broader culture around us. Over a period of time, as the kid goes from being a baby to being a full-grown adult, the kid learns that if I do this, I have my parents feed me. I have my parents love me. I have my parents respond to me. So that part of our psyche continues to develop, and it continues to internalize these rules about how I need to be in order to be loved, in order to be accepted, with the broader goal of survival. So this part continues to get nurtured over time, and this part is called the ego. And the ego creates a persona. And persona is the sum total of all these things that I just mentioned. It's the mask that you project to the world, and not just to the world, but also to yourself. You make sure that you come across a certain way, because you know if people perceive you that way, that's your best bet at survival. And again, survival here is broad. Survival is not just about, you know, will I have enough food or shelter? It's about, will I be accepted? Will I belong in society? So that becomes your persona. For example, if you grow up in a household where your parents really value hard work, like work hard and that's how you make it in life, then I'm a hard worker becomes part of your persona. And the ego keeps the persona alive. Ego's job is to protect your persona, because the ego believes that unless you're your persona, you are going to not survive. So it's as simple as that. Now, the problem is when we start to identify with the persona as our true self. So ancient spiritual texts tell us that we are pure consciousness. We are the consciousness manifested as different beings in the universe, that this world that we see is under the illusion of separateness or Maya. And what we really are is pure consciousness. But because the ego creates a persona that's really strong and powerful, we start to identify with our persona. We think we're just the persona. So this is like similar to saying, instead of being this whole thing, I'm going to be a tiny facet of it. And that becomes our identity. That's how we move in the world. So this problem of identifying with the persona is like saying, just because I have a computer, it means I am the computer. So you have an ego. You are not the ego. The ego creates the persona. You are not the persona. You are the pure consciousness. And these are just functions of your psyche. But what we do is we mistake ourselves for that persona. And we start to think that we can't be anything but the persona. Now let's come back to fear. How does fear come into the picture? Fear happens when your ego feels threatened that you are going to step outside the persona. Because remember, the ego's job is to make sure that you survive. And by stepping outside the bounds that you've laid for yourself, ego thinks you're entering like wild animal territory. You're not going to survive. So the ego will create fear so that you stop, retract, and continue to live as the persona. Any attempt to move outside the persona will always be met with fear. It's a sign that your ego is functioning really well. So you should pat yourself in the back and be like, okay, ego, great job. I know you're alive. I know you're well. I know you know how to do your job. But as the being here, as the pure consciousness, I can override you. Just because my computer did this processing, it did this function, doesn't mean I have to listen to it. I can be like, oh, okay, thanks, ego, for telling me that. Thanks for creating fear so I can pause and assess my situation. But then I'm the pure consciousness. I'm the being who's going to decide what to do with this next. This fear, when it comes up, let's talk about a few ways that it might sound like, so you understand what I'm talking about. It may not be literal fear like, oh, I need shelter, or oh, I need to run away. In fact, it's rarely like that in the modern world, where we are quite cushioned from like a literal fear staring at us in the face. But it can look like a number of things. So it can be a voice inside your head that says, who do you think you are? What makes you think you can do this? That's the dumbest thing I heard. You will never make it. Everyone will think you're a fool. You're making a huge mistake. So this is how fear sounds like. And it is almost universal, because we all have egos. And ego's not a bad thing, by the way. It's just a survival function of the psyche. So we all have egos, which means we all have personas that the ego created to protect us. And so we all also have fear every time we try to step outside the persona. There's two ways to overcome this fear. Universal as it is, different approaches appeal to different people. And some are more studied in psychology, and others are promoted by more spiritual and wisdom traditions of the world. And I really don't think there is like one is better than the other. So take your pick. Pick any of these two approaches that help you overcome your fear. So approach one is to just do the thing. So you're afraid of public speaking. It's the most common fear. Just get up on stage, sign up for something, and just go do it. And once you do it, you will realize that your fear will diminish in its intensity. It won't be as strong as it was before. So you continue to do that. Psychology, they may call it exposure therapy in certain cases. And one day you'll be like, you know, I'm not afraid of this anymore. Like, I'm not afraid to take this elevator. I first went near the elevator. I saw it for a few days. Then I stepped in it and stepped out of it without actually riding it. And I rode one floor, two floors. Now I can ride it up and down and stay there for 5 minutes. So you do the thing that you're afraid of, and the fear starts to loosen its grip on you. That's one approach. Second approach is you explore the fear. You are like, huh, this fear has set in. What is it about? And let me see what's really underneath it. So in this case, you sit with the fear. You explore it. You notice where you feel it in your body, because all emotions come with a corresponding effect in your body. And once you start to notice it, you realize, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. It's just a sensation. I can get past this sensation if I just witness it, if I just explore it, and then it would just fizzle out like most sensations do. Now, which of these approaches you take depends on what the task at hand is, what is it you're afraid of, what is it you're more drawn to. But with either of those, the goal is the same: to recognize that fear is just your body trying to make sure you survive, and you as a spiritual being overriding that fear because you know that you are pure consciousness, omnipresent, omniscient. Nothing can destroy you. So what is there to be afraid of, really? To drive this point home and show you what this looks like in practice, I have picked a session from one of my clients. His name is Ryan. And just so everybody knows, I use pseudonyms for my clients to protect their identity. But we will call this one Ryan. And Ryan is, this is actually my first ever session with him that I'm going to play for you all. And Ryan is dealing with fear. He wants this life in the country, and he's afraid to leave his secure job. It's a fear many of us can relate to. I myself relate to it in so many ways. And this session explores how we understand why this fear is originating. And we explore actually both the approaches of looking at this fear. And you can see as you hear the session, which one Ryan feels more comfortable with in this case and what happens as he does it. So let's listen, and then we'll talk afterward.
So you were going through like a big change in what we're doing, and we're moving to a new country. And in order to do that, I need to quit my job here and figure it out there. And I just have this like conflict in my head pretty much. I go back and forth. Like sometimes I'm in the mindset of like, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to find a way to make something work, and it's not going to be a problem, and it'll all work out, stuff like that. And then other times I'm like, well, I don't know if I feel like it's stupid to leave here and this job I have here, because it's like a union job. So when it's not like, like I don't know my bosses, like it's a big company. So it's not like once I leave, I can come back really. I mean, that it's not even just for that aspect of my life. I feel like for a lot of things, I go back and forth sometimes, and I feel like it all comes down to that same conflict. It's just going back and forth, flip-flopping, and I'm pretty bad at making decisions, and I don't like planning because I don't know. It's just the whole, I feel like it's that main focus, but just in pretty much all aspects. But right now, the work is kind of amplified because it's kind of like a shifting, big change.
Yeah. I mean, it's this situation you have in front of you is almost bringing to light the fact that it's hard for you to plan, to make decisions, and to operate with clarity in general. But like this particular instance is highlighting it. It's shining a spotlight on these qualities that sound like you're aware that you have, but they haven't come to bother you in a way that they are doing right now.
Yeah, and I know the easier thing would just be, you know, stay here, don't do it or whatever, and then you'll just go about your life. But then in 30, 40 years, I mean, I probably would regret it. And
so if I'm hearing it right, your inner voice is saying that you should respond to this call for adventure, I would call it, to borrow Joseph Campbell's term. You know, like you're on your journey. There's something that presents itself. You feel like, oh, I want to move to the country and have this different life. That's your call to adventure. But you're hesitating in responding to that call based on what you've seen or what you know about yourself and what you've seen in the past. Does that sound right?
Yes. Because, yeah, when I'm working a lot here in New York, it's kind of like when it's too much, it's like This is not supposed to be my whole life. It doesn't make sense. This is not what living is really. And I'm going to do this for 30 more years. I can't imagine. And so that's like, I feel like I need to do something else and have change and more adventure and stuff like that. But like, so that's what kind of starts the whole like, oh, this is going to be good and all that. And then I don't know. It just, I come back on the other way all the time also.
Yeah, I understand. Answer this question for me. For what kind of person would your situation of moving and starting new this country life would not be a problem?
If I think, like I always say, like I wish I had a remote job. I wish I had a remote job just for like, it's kind of like, you know, you can make this amount of money and you're doing the same thing you're doing here. And I think if I had like a known thing that I'm going into, it would make me feel better. And also, like, it's also my parents aren't, they're coming around now, but they're a little bit like more like speculative on like, they don't think I should leave my job now because it's a good job and all this. So it's pretty much, I think if I just had something steady, known, lined up where I could, yeah, like rely on that.
So for a person who has job security and supportive parents, this situation would not be a problem.
Yeah. And not that they're not supportive. They are supportive, but it's just they're coming around now because it's been like a talking point for a while. But when I first mentioned it to them, they think I was crazy. But now they kind of, the more we talk about it, the more they understand. And like you see, I think my dad's brother died a couple months ago, and it kind of like brought this like kind of like he realizes that like life's short. So I think they kind of coming along to it. And I have to stay like I'm gonna work it out when I talk to them. I never show them the negative side of like me thinking twice about it because that would make them less supportive of it. But yeah, I think job security would or like just yeah, security in work and in money and stuff like that would definitely.
Yeah, I can see how your dad's brother's passing may have given them a new perspective. Did
Yeah.
it give you a new perspective as well?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've always kind of had that perspective as like, go for it now and kind of, I don't really understand. We're just like on like a spaceship and I don't know. It's kind of like, why not? It's like, depends on, they're kind of like, I don't know, more traditional in their beliefs, like kind of like this is your only life and stuff like that. I don't know if they really think that, but as of right now, they kind of think that way and stuff like that. Me, I more so think like there's more to this and it's just like one of the trips here and why not go for it? But then I also have the other side of me that's like, well, you know, that's the whole conflict.
I feel like the way you spelled out, like, for what kind of person this would not be a problem, it sounds like everything is dependent on the external environment a little bit. Like, that type of job, parents who are already turning very supportive but continue to say, so money. How would you answer that question if you'd be like, what kind of person, like, what qualities does that person have for this to not
Well,
be?
yeah, well, I'm confident in my like abilities, like and like to find something and make it work and kind of learn new things and stuff like that. But yeah, I feel like someone like it's more like she's very like outgoing and it's also you're trying to make new friends down there too. I'm a little bit more reserved and kind of a follower more so, I would say. And yeah, like someone like her, she's more outgoing, she's more of a leader, she's like very driven, and I'm definitely very driven too, but just in different ways maybe. So those are probably the qualities, like more of a leader type quality can.
So if you were a person who was a leader, pioneer, outgoing, and driven in the leadership sort of way, this situation would not be a problem for you.
I think it would be easier because I would yes because yeah I don't know I feel like I'd have to start like a business of my own down there And that kind of is daunting to me. And
so I think that at the heart of your conflict lies the question, like, can I be this person? Because if you can be, the answer is pretty easy. I think then you just go to the country and do those things, you know, start your business, live this life that you're envisioning, that in good moments you're like, yes, that's what I want. I don't want to just keep doing the same old stuff, job in New York for 30, 40 years and then regret it. But then once the doubt sets in of like, will I be able to be this person? That's when you think, maybe I should just fall back on the qualities I already know I have. Like, I can be stable, I can be consistent, I can be driven within the parameter of my current job. And then that seems like the best option. It's like a choice between, can I cultivate these qualities or should I just work with what I have currently as my strengths? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So one of the concepts in Jungian philosophy, which is what I base most of my coaching on, is this concept of shadow and persona. You can think of them as two sides of the same coin. So persona is the one that we think we are, we project it to the world. It's kind of like the mask we wear. And it's like, so if someone had to describe you, I'm guessing they would say you're, you know, stable, dependable, consistent, all those things. I'm inferring that based on what you said. And then in the shadow, in order to be that stuff, you have to push something away. Because in order to be black, you can't be white. You know, it's kind of like that. So when you choose some things, you push some other things away. So in the shadow, you may have pushed things like leadership, pioneering. Why? Because they are the opposite of being consistent, of being dependable, of showing up. And so what happens is you've created the split within yourself. And we all have that. It's not just you. So just don't think like I'm singling you out. We all do that. Mm-hmm. As we grow up, we think these are the qualities that we need to succeed in life. And we usually pick that from our parents, from our social environment, and just some of it is just inherent to our personality. And the other stuff we push aside becomes part of our shadow. And two things happen when we are asked to, you know, do something that's not part of our persona. Like, we feel very afraid because that's how we've survived this whole time. So if I ask you to call upon these qualities, you're like, no, 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 but I've survived based on my persona, so I'm not going to go and do that. That's very risky. And it almost feels like you won't survive in the literal sense. Like, you will be eaten alive by a bear. You know, that type of fear sets in.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that happens is when you see other people doing it, like in your case, your partner, you are like, wow, love that about them. So there's this admiration for those qualities, while there's also reluctance to have them in you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And the way out of this dilemma, this predicament, is to take those qualities that you've put in your shadow and bring them to light, make them part of yourself. And that's what we call integration. Integrating your persona, this half, with your shadow, this half. That way, any and all things are accessible to you. It's not like you have to be this, you can't be that. Maybe there are times you use your consistency, dependability more, and there are other times when you use your leadership skills or pioneering more. It's almost like color palette. Everything's available to you, and depending on the situation, you can choose, as opposed to, this is not me, this is always me. That's sort of the theoretical frame within which I, you know, would like to set this discussion. This is the goal that you're trying to achieve. You're trying to bring these shadow qualities to the forefront and use them as needed. Doesn't mean you always have to do them. It just means you can use them when you need them. And this is where I'm going to pass it back to you and ask you, before we even think about forcing these qualities on you, let us ask ourselves, like, in what ways has your life been limited because you have always focused on being reliable and consistent and safe.
Well, I just feel like there's lack of adventure and, yeah, pretty much just doing things that I feel like we're not really here and we're not meant to do, like, at all times. It's not supposed to be the main focus. It's supposed to be more than just this. And yeah, I always had like a, I always want to do like van life or do like something cool like that, or do like a big road trip to here. And, but I obviously I'll never wind up doing it. But yeah, so definitely a lot of adventure and a lot of being in nature, I feel. And we definitely get a lot more of that down there and feeling more close to nature. I feel like in New York, it can get really disconnected. And yeah, and when we are in, it's like you're eating a lot of fresh fruit and you're outside a lot more. It just feels like more natural. So I feel like having that sense of security kind of blocks me from that type of lifestyle.
So what you miss out is adventure. I think you miss out on connection with nature, I'm hearing. And you can notice that things that were supposed to be just for sustenance, to keep life going, take prominence in your life to the point that they become stifling. Like, it's one thing to have money so you can live, but then you're just living to make money in that way that you've been used to. And the cost of having the persona is this. You know, the benefit is that you survive. It's exactly what you need to grow up in your childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and get yourself to a position of stability and survival. And the downside is all these things that you just listed that you miss out on. And so you're almost at a crossroads where you need to decide, like, am I going to answer that call and start to bring these qualities forth because the stuff that you listed matters to you? Or am I going to continue to play it safe and stay within the limit of my persona? And only you can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. But I'm here to tell you that if you did that, if you did integrate these parts of you, life will become much more meaningful, much more wholesome, and you can get to a point where you can really get connected to the collective conscience of the world. Because unless you are whole within yourself, it's hard to connect to whatever you want to call it, divine, God, spirit, the energy that's in the world. Because if you're split in yourself, you cannot access that almost. So you might notice that you go on a trip and things get really good for a while, but then you come back to work, you're back in the split, back in that duality, and then you can't access that deep knowing, that deep reserve, that feeling of transcendence again. So first you have to conquer it within yourself before you can get it elsewhere.
Okay.
So with that, how might you think, you already listed the things that might benefit you from, you know, from letting go, like loosening your grip on the persona a little bit, letting some of these elements come. How might you bring some of these qualities to the fore? You don't necessarily have to start the country project, but just anything in your life, because we're not trying to problem solve for one area. We're trying to see how to make you whole.
So how to get the qualities of like leadership and like outgoingness, like more in the forefront, you're saying? Yeah, I mean, I think making that move would force me to have to do that. But other than that, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm open to leading when I'm confident about something and stuff like that, and I don't have a problem with it. But like, yeah, it's more so. Yeah, I don't know. And like you're saying, in day to day life, how to get that more out, correct?
Yeah, because the more you try to get it out, the more you will access the fear that back from getting that out. And you want to just do it in palatable doses. So quit everything, sell your belongings, move to a place is right now seeming really big.
Yeah.
And a way to do it just a little bit, just so you can get a sense of like what that fear looks like. It's like if you were afraid to swim, you'd probably go start sitting near a swimming pool. Then you might want to put your feet in. You might go into the shallow end with a floaty, and you know, you work your way up to the deep end and being there. What might you do? You know, just start that process of integration.
Take more of the leadership role and in work, but I kind of have that now, so that's why it's like it's kind of just like I really know how to become more of a leader. I'm not. Yeah, and a lot of it too is like if I'm telling someone to do something, or if I'm arguing a point or something like that too, it's like I just don't like confrontation, so I just let it go. I'm like, all right, I'll like more so like we're pretty opposite personality wise, but it kind of works. But yeah, she's more so like we'll argue her point, try to really convince you, or like just of anything like that. And me, if someone doesn't want to do anything or doesn't want to do something that I ask them to do, I'll just do it myself. I don't really, I don't like arguing, or sometimes it feels pointless to me. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of more of a leadership role, like where I could become more of a leader. Yeah. I mean, at work, I could take more of a leadership role, but yeah, when I do, I have hesitancy too sometimes, but I always just do it when I'm asked to, and it makes you feel more accomplished at the end of the day, obviously. I think that's a lot of it too, is like, I just, when I feel nervous to do something, I just have a tendency to just, sometimes, certain things I'll just do it, but some things I just will have a tendency not to do. But you always feel better, obviously, when you do that thing that you're nervous about and it works out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really sure in what aspects I could become a leader.
I have another way to approach this, so we could try that.
Okay.
One of the ways of getting over the fear of tapping into your shadow qualities is to do precisely what we were just discussing. Just act. Just do the thing. And you will get over it in bits and pieces. The other one is to explore the fear itself, which, you know, depending on who you are, you might find one more comfortable than the other. But if you're open to it, since you're sitting down right now, we could do a little exercise to just explore that fear, see what it's telling you, and maybe that can give us a way out of the predicament you're in. Just take a comfortable, you can sit as you are or cross-legged or however, whatever helps you get grounded. Just close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Long exhale. Continue breathing deeply and imagine that there's a white light going all the way from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. And as this light travels down, you are slowly getting more and more relaxed, more and more at peace. And you have this inner calm. Now try to invoke this fear and do whatever it takes to invite it in your body. You can think about anything that scares you about your situation, whether it's the new place you're going to, whether it's having to confront someone, whether it's arguing your point in an argument, anything that makes the fear rise up and show you its nature. Now, this part, you can keep your eyes closed, but talk to me. Where are you feeling this fear?
Okay, more so like basically I'm trying to work. I'm an electrician, so I'm trying to work with someone, and I have trouble like setting a giving them a price because I Like I had issues with that in the past, and that's something that brings up a fear.
That's a great situation to work with because it sounds like it happens pretty often. Where are you feeling this fear in your body? Emotion can't really exist without a corresponding thing in your body. So where do you feel it?
I feel like I'm shrugging up a little bit, so maybe my upper back, it traps.
Yeah. If you could give a color or an image to this emotion in your body, what would you say it is like?
Maybe I don't know why, but yellow.
Yellow. Does it have a shape or form?
No.
Is it like a yellow blob?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, let's go with that. Okay, so just look at this yellow blob. It represents your fear. Can I invite you to stay with it? Keep your eyes closed, but imagine it getting out of your body, just a couple of feet in front of you. Just examine it and tell me if anything's changed.
Well, I feel kind of like more like relaxed, but picturing it outside my body makes me feel a little bit more.
What has happened to the color and shape of it?
It's like moving almost.
You can watch it move and tell me what it looks like in a few more seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like a moving blob, just still a blob, just like changing, moving around.
Now invite it back into your body and tell me how you feel now that it's back in.
I feel more relaxed than I was before.
When you're ready, you can take a deep breath. Get back in touch with your physical environment and open your eyes. What did you get from that?
It was just kind of more relaxing than anything else. Like, kind of tells you that fear is just a, maybe it's just like a reaction to something. And there are ways to not react that way, pretty much. And just be at peace and recognize it, but get past it, kind of.
Yeah, you're so right because fear is not like it's just a sensation in your body that is telling you something bad might happen. But if you really look at it for what it is, it's much more manageable if you face it. And it's even more manageable when you create some distance from it. It's like 2 feet away from me, I'm good. Inside me, I feel something. But even if it's inside me and I've just given it some airtime and explored it with curiosity, it starts to lessen its grip on you. So now that you saw what you saw and felt what you felt about your fear, do you still feel like you have to be as afraid to embrace some of the things that you just haven't had a chance to integrate in your life?
No, I shouldn't, I know I shouldn't be, but yeah, I feel like it, yeah, I should not be.
We obviously had some discussion and we did an exercise. What do you think have been your takeaways from this session?
More so just recognizing emotion for what it is and just response and just getting past that and feel like just going for what you feel like you should go for more so. Like your deep gut feeling will outweigh the emotion in the long.
So that was Ryan. I am very grateful to you for allowing me to use this snippet from our session to really underscore the points I was trying to make. So in Ryan's case, Ryan is caught in a major life transition. He wants to leave his secure job in the city and have a life for himself in the country, but he has become identified with his persona. What are the qualities of his persona? He likes being stable. He likes being dependable. He likes to blend in with what others are doing, which makes certain things harder for him, like pioneering, being a leader, being able to freely speak his mind and engage in conflict. So because he's gotten so identified with his persona, every time he has to do something to step out of this persona, his ego creates a fear response. And you can see how reluctant he was at the beginning of the session. And I suggested both paths to him. He did not feel very comfortable with the first option, which was to just do the thing. Okay. And many of us will not. Our fear can seem so big and insurmountable that it feels really hard, sometimes even in small doses. But if you can, go for it. The other option, which is the option he took, was the one of exploring the fear. This fear was manifesting in his body, in his shoulders, as a yellow blob. And why give this fear color? Why give it a shape? Why give it a symbol? It's because it's very hard to communicate with our psyche through words. If you ever tried talking yourself out of your fear, you know how hard it is, and it might work temporarily, but you always go back to it again. So taking it out of your cognition and putting it in a place where you can feel it somatically in your body is much more helpful in confronting your fear. And then all you have to do is sit with the sensation of that fear, watch it morph, create some distance from it, like Ryan did. He took the fear out of his body, and it suddenly had less grip on him. And this is when we create a separation between the fear function in his psyche and his true self, the wisdom mind, or pure consciousness, as we call it. And when he looks at his fear from this place of wisdom, from this place of being a conscious being, he realizes that this fear is nothing. It just naturally dissolved and loosened his grip on him. And by the end of the session, he felt confident enough to move forward with his plans. So now that you understand how fear works, I hope that you feel more equipped to work with it in your own life. Remember, fear can show up in many different ways. It doesn't quite always feel like fear. It sometimes sounds like anxiety. It sometimes sounds like depression. It sometimes sounds like n number of things that we have come to politely refer to our fear as, because it's hard to say, I'm afraid. Because you're not really afraid. Part of your psyche that's responsible for you staying safe is causing the fear. But you, as pure consciousness, you have nothing to fear. So I hope that this was helpful to you. And please do write to me about your stories of how you took this technique and you took this framework and applied it to your own life. Until then, take care. Thank you for being my partner in Sublime today. I hope you enjoyed diving into the unconscious with me. To ask a question or get coached on the show, visit shagunchopra.com/ask or click the link below. See you next time.